Hey, Wesley, what's up, brother?
Oh man, I couldn't be any better if I tried. Randy, how you doing?
I know, and you try a lot. You're a hard trier. I like that about you. You know, is that a word? Is that real legit? Hard trier?
Well, I'll do this. I'll do this because I had it ready, and that is Randy's notorious for making up words.
That is perfect. And you're right. And some of them actually make sense. And I've done a couple times where I've talked, you know, like larger crowds, smaller crowds. And I remember a couple times where I've stopped and go, anybody got a pen? I need to write that down. That was a good one right there. I even made up stuff I didn't know what it was. And I got called on that the other day. One of my favorites, as you probably know, is beans. You know, beans were here already.
Right.
I know that doesn't exist, but it does. And someday it's going to be an asterisk in Webster's Dictionary and Wikipedia that said beans, formed originally by Randy L. Chaffee. So I'm ready.
Beans is a good one, and we got to give a shout out to our friend and you know, fellow former mastermind Michelle, and that's all y'all.
Oh, y'all. Exactly. I use that all the time because I used to have a wrong. I thought it was just y'all.
No, it's all y'all.
But now it's all y'all,
it's
unless
right.
It's you and me. Y'all. But then more than one, it's all y'all.
That's like saying everybody.
Everybody. All y'all. So I know we're pretty hilarious and we love chatting, and we're going to be together in a couple of weeks. So we can do a lot of chatting. So why don't we just bring all y'all into the world of Robin Westrum, the way you think?
I think that's a great idea.
Because I know you're tired of talking to me already.
I hear myself enough. I talk to myself down here.
Exactly.
So let's bring on all Robin. Right.
Let's go do it.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chaffee, and producer-director Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Oh, sorry, Robin. I was taking a nap, just getting ready for this. I don't know why that's so funny to me. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing really well. Thank you.
Good. Good.
Look pleasure to be.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you all the way from Helsinki, Finland, right? Get that right.
That's right.
Wow. That's like across the big pond. We had a guest on one other time from Helsinki or in that area. So,
really?
Hannah Herbst. Johanna Herbst. She's probably a big city, probably more than 12 people, so you may not know her, but so we like the big pond, across the big pond, so welcome and thank you. I know it's probably ever so slightly getting time bedtime for you guys over there, but
it's 8 p.m so
It's almost time to go get some rest. I like it.
It is.
Thank you for being on, and we've followed each other for a while and have some comments back and forth, and I really love your work. I really love your message. So before we get started, who in the world is Robin Westerlund?
Well, I'm 29 years young. I'm actually turning 30 next year, so I'm still young and fresh.
Well, remind me, because I'll get you a gift or something. I'll send you some.
I like to compete. I like personal development. I like coaching people. I basically am a sleep coach by profession, which means I help people sleep their way to the top, but in an ethical way.
I say that would get some attention. I like that.
It always does. So I have to add the disclaimer. It's not the Hollywood style. It's in the right way.
Exactly. Yeah. Or the American politics style. Did I say it out loud? Didn't I?
Yeah.
But it is what it is. So, and I love that because, you know, I know you list yourself amongst many things as you do a lot of one-on-one coaching for entrepreneurs, business owners, high achievers, athletes, which obviously are high achievers. So let's just dig into this thing here a little bit. I want to back up. How did you get into being a sleep coach? I guess, I mean, before we even do that, let's establish some cred here, buddy. I mean, I would be interested because you're the first sleep coach I've ever known. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't know that existed. So that's really fascinating to me. Yeah. And I do understand, not as well as you're going to have us understand by the time we're done, the importance of sleep, but how does one become a sleep coach? That's interesting.
Yeah, great question. So like my education is in the mental performance field, which is like a fancy word for learning people how to think. But while I was in that education, I already knew about the importance of sleep, but I learned for a fact that all pro athletes focus heavily on sleep. Like if a pro athlete doesn't sleep well, they can't perform at their highest level. And I was in this education because I wanted to help pro athletes. And I wanted to take like the things I learned in this education to help athletes perform even better when the stakes are high. But I quickly started like wondering why so many of us normal humans neglect sleep when pro athletes focus so hardly on it. Like there has to be, if it wasn't important, why would they put so much focus on it? I've seen coaches bench the star players in important games just because the star player didn't sleep enough the night before, because the coach took it as a sign that the star player wasn't serious about his performance. And I've had the benefit, or like I've been lucky in that way that most of my life I've been able to fall asleep really quickly myself. Like when I lay my head down, I fall asleep within 2 minutes. My wife hates it because that means there's never any pillow talk.
Yeah, there you go.
But it's a blessing in other ways. And I remember when I was like 12, 13 years old, even someone told me like, if I could fall asleep as quickly as you, I would pay any amount of money. And I've heard that saying a lot of times. So I started thinking about this saying when I started doing research about sleep when I was in this mental performance education. And I found out that sleep deprivation is actually like a way, way bigger issue than I thought it was. Like I've heard people not sleeping well. I've heard people, yeah, I sleep tomorrow, whatever. I do an all-nighter. I don't really care. So I knew that not everyone takes it seriously, but I didn't think it was such a big of an issue that it is. So like in the US alone, there is over 9 million people that takes sleeping pills every night to be able to fall asleep. Wow. And that's like every night, over 9 million people. There are over 50 million people that take sleeping pills like every now and then. And that's in the US alone. So
question on that, because it makes me think, I would assume that, I don't know if that if sleeping pills are technically addictive or not, but if you get used to being able to sleep with them,
yeah,
that becomes your life, right? Which is not a good place to be. Is that a correct statement?
That's absolutely correct. That's why they are so dangerous. Because like if you have terrible sleep, you take a sleeping pill, which makes you fall asleep, but it doesn't like improve the quality of your sleep. It just helps you fall asleep faster. Then it's really, really, then you think that's like the only way. And if you used to have like insomnia, and when you have insomnia, you usually get like insomnia related anxiety. If you get that and you take a pill and you avoid, like you don't have it anymore, you will never get off those pills. Even though sleeping pills are bad for you long term, because it's not natural substances. So your body is not created to absorb it, right? Especially not like during a long period of time.
Sure.
So that's like my job is basically to replace the sleeping pills and not only get you to fall asleep faster, also to stay asleep during the night. Like people usually tell me like, you have so much energy. I'm like, yeah, well, I should. I sleep very well.
That is. And that, you know, and I know in the States here, especially, and I'm sure Europe's the same way. We have an old phrase that's used a lot in the States anyways, is people tend to burn the candle at both ends. Right. And they take pride. We tend, anybody that's a bit of an achiever or an overachiever, falsely, I'm sure, but take pride in how much we're working and how many extra hours. Yes. And I don't sleep because I've got work to do. I never stop. Yes. And while those are sound like good traits, right? But I'm sure you're going to tell me that you're giving up so much in performance on the time you're working that you could accomplish a whole lot less or a whole lot more in less time if you just like figure out how to go to sleep now and then, right?
Yes. Yeah. So that's the thing. That's like, so I, as we said, I'm based in Helsinki, Finland. I do 98% of my work like from my computer. Most of my clients are based in the US, so I do all my content in English. I do most of my clients call are from like with people in Texas or Florida or some of the southern states usually. And one reason why Americans hire me is because they like it's the first time in their entire lives, doesn't matter how old they are, they hear someone talk about the importance of sleep. And yes, there are people in Europe that works hard as well and neglect their sleep. But in the US, it's a cultural thing. It's like ingrained in your culture because, you know, the dear American dream, which yeah. which is a good like the original idea of the American dream is a good thing. And it has made your country become great. It's like it's a good trait to work hard for what you want. You need to do that to achieve success.
Right.
But you can't just like it's not the only thing. You can't just work hard and neglect everything else because then you won't have anyone to celebrate the success with. Like,
correct.
You can neglect everything else. And what's like really terrible about like skipping your sleep, it's a fact that your life gets shorter if you are not sleeping well. It like shortens your lifespan. So even if like if you're a believer, like if you believe that God created the earth and that's why we're here, or if you believe in evolution, we become who we are from evolution, doesn't really matter which one of those you believe in. If it wasn't important to us, we wouldn't have the need to spend one third of our life asleep. Like if it was unnecessary, like some higher power would have made sure that we don't need it anymore.
Right.
Because that's like how evolution works.
Correct.
It gets rid of the things we don't need. And you would think that if God created us and he wants the best of us, why would he force us to sleep one third of our lives if we didn't need it? It makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
We probably need it.
You're very, very right. Exactly. Exactly. So before I forget this, this popped in my head. And I'm sure there's some numbers you can apply to this, but how much does this lack of sleep affect our performance? I mean, it's not just a little, right? It's a lot. Is there anything quantifiable on that you've learned in your studies that if I just keep burning the candle at both ends, as we say, it's going to affect my performance by 5%, 20%, 40%? And not the numbers matter, but I like numbers. So
well, it's basically if you're let's say you sleep like me, you sleep 7.5 hours every night with good quality. And if I sleep one night less than 6 hours, my performance drops with about 15%. Like from one night. If I do it a few nights in a row, it drops. It's like after two nights, it's about 30%. It's not exactly accurate, but around there. And after three nights, it's like more than 60%. So if I'm three nights in a row sleep deprived, I perform more than 60% worse than I did 3 days ago, which is terrible.
It is. So this brings a question in my head because I know a lot of people do it. I've done it myself. This is going to be a rough 2-3 nights, but when I get home, I'll make up for it. Which number one, you probably never do, but is that even possible? Or is that just a dream, right? That you're going to make up for it. I suppose at some point you do a little, but that's more of a dream than reality, right?
It's a great question. A very good question. It works. Like, let's say I sleep badly in the incoming night. It works like if I go to bed a little bit earlier the next night and like compensate for one night, you can get some of the lost sleep back, but you can't do it like many people do. Like you sleep terribly during the week and then you try to sleep in during the weekend. It doesn't work. The loss is too big. You can't compensate for it anymore. So it's like you can save it a little bit from only one night. But if it's more than one night, it's the train has already gone. You missed it. Like,
right,
just
right.
Make sure it's a long time until the next time.
Right.
So, yeah.
So the danger really, there's a huge danger because it's a cumulative effect, right? It's compounding. And I assume every, like you said, you go from 15 to 30 to 60. So it's compounding on itself, right?
Yes.
The first night is probably whatever. And you can go back and get back into a rhythm. But it sounds like once you start getting to that 3-4 day period, you're going to pay hell to get back to it, right?
Ever. Yes.
And that's a challenge.
Correct. And the thing is, like, when you ask me, like, how, like, what really happens when you're not sleeping well, it's like, because sleep is such a fundamental need for our body and our brain to work, what happens when you're sleep deprived is your brain has to choose to put less energy on some other function. Because what happens when you're not sleeping enough is you don't have 100% focus, 100% energy. You can't have that. If you only charge your phone up to 60%, you only have 60%. You can't use 100%, then you can only use 60. So what happens is your brain has to choose like, oh, okay, I'll make the cognitive abilities a bit. Like I'll run them in the background today. He can't use the cognitive abilities to his full ability. Like he can't use 100%. That's like why people who are sleep deprived are terrible drivers. They're like, they've even done studies like people that are slightly drunk drive even better than people that are sleep deprived. And a lot of fatal accidents happens when people, they sleep terribly, they get up fast, and then they jump in the car and they drive for hours, or they just try to work. They watch their phone, they spill their coffee, they yell at the traffic, whatever, and they fall asleep and they cause an accident. Because if you fall asleep at the steering wheel, like while you're driving your car, you lose complete focus for 1 to 2 seconds. That's more than enough to cause an accident.
Right.
Yeah.
So the idea here is to obviously that you teach people is how to get to sleep reasonably quickly.
Yes.
And how to stay in a good sleep for the duration of the night and wake up actually refreshed and ready to go. And so let's talk about that, but also maybe, and then I'll let you run with this for a second. We do all that. Should you wake up, I mean, like instantly, and like I'm ready to jump out of bed right now, rock and roll, let's take on the day? Or is it still normal with good rest, good sleep, to still wake up and go, whew, I guess I better get up because the alarm went off and I got stuff to do? I'm assuming that if you do this the right way, it's like the second that alarm goes off or whatever the case may be, you're ready to hit the ground running, right? Is that, would that be normal if you do this right?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. That kind of depends as well, like, let's say how much you look forward to your job. Like if you hate your job, you're probably not going to take a front flip out of bed, even if you're well rested. But if you have a job or you run a business that you enjoy and you usually like, it's a pain in the butt to get out of bed. But when you're well rested, it will be easier. Like not saying it will be sunshine and rainbows every day. I even have days when I'm like, yeah, I would rather sleep some more. But I've trained myself to, when the alarm goes off, I get up. Or like, I call it a safety alarm. I wake up like the same time every morning by myself because my circadian rhythm is fine-tuned. So my body knows, okay, it's 5:30. It's time to wake up. And then I have a safety alarm, as I call it, at 5:35, just in case I would oversleep, so I don't like ruin the entire day and my entire morning routine. So it's great question, but it kind of depends on other things as well. You can wake up, you can have had a great night's sleep and wake up and be a bit sluggish, but that sluggishness should ease off as soon as you get out of bed, basically in the first 10 minutes.
So good question, right? Because you talked about having the alarm set. I typically can wake up when I want to. I would not say that I sleep great. So this is really interesting to me, but I wake up. The good side of that equation for me, and Wes and I talk about this all the time, is we're blessed to love what we do and do what we love.
Yeah.
So even, and we all have bad days or days in your work world that have some suck to them. Right. But when you really love what you do and do what you love, I still want to get up and get at it. I'll just go handle the suck and move on to the good, right? So I'm excited about that. But it's interesting because I will set an alarm, like you said, and if I know I have to go catch a red-eye flight, which I know you're probably going to tell me is maybe not the greatest thing to do, but sometimes it's what I do right now, and occasionally. And if I got to get up at 3:30 in the morning, which I'm not, and I know I'm wrong because I'm not going to go to bed early enough. I may change my mind with your tutelage here, but I'm not going to bed early, and I don't currently go to bed early enough to make up for that. I just don't. Mm-hmm. So I realize I'm starting a deficit right out of the gate, and I get that. But I've had times where if I want to get up at 3:30, I set an alarm for 3:30, about 3:32, 3:35, and 3:36, because I'm scared to death that I'm going to just sleep through that thing. Right.
Yeah.
And so I guess the key there is, do you allow yourself, my point to this, I knew I was going somewhere. I had to remember where I was going. Is do you recommend, setting the time and doing the old snooze things? I don't do snooze ever. Or do you set it whatever time it is and Randy, get up and go, like right now, let's go. What's the best way to handle that?
Yeah. Great question. I don't deal with snooze. We don't snooze in my household. No,
you may when the twins are born, buddy. You may. I'm just telling you.
Yeah. We don't snooze in my household yet.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. So, no. What, the reason, it's like multiple reasons. But one reason is because if I've said to myself in the evening, I'm going to get up at 5:30, well, I better get up at 5:30. If I get up at 5:45, I've lied to myself. I don't like to lie to myself. It ruins my confidence. It ruins my momentum. It ruins a lot of things. But what it also does, like from a more scientific background or like, yeah, opinion, is when you snooze, you usually, if you are tired and you want to snooze because you want to get some extra sleep, what it does is it's like you start to slumber back into your sleep cycle. And then when the alarm goes off 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever, 30 minutes later, you are deeper into your sleep cycle than you were when the alarm went off in the first place. And people that snooze, or every time I ask people that keep snoozing, like if they are happy when the alarm goes off again, they tell me it's the worst thing ever. So they were angry when the alarm went off the first time, but they forced themselves to get angry again, like 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 times every morning. And then they ask me like, oh, I always wake up in a bad mood. Like, what should I do? Well, you just answered your own question. You hate when the alarm goes off, but you force yourself to go through 7 hateful things every morning. Of course, you wake up in a bad mood. Mm-hmm. Randy, if I don't like when you punch me in the face, but I tell you to punch me in the face 7 times every morning to get me out of bed, well, yeah, I'm going to wake up in a bad mood.
Well, exactly. And so that's a learned habit that we got to get out of, because you're right. I have found years ago, I might have been a hit the snoozer guy, but I don't think I've hit a snooze in 20 years.
Yeah,
because you're exactly right. That's so spot on. I think about myself. I don't always, even if I'm looking forward to my day, there's that moment of, but you're right. The second I'm out of bed, I mean, literally, I use my phone as an alarm, right? Because I'm travel a lot too. I'm probably hitting, my feet are hitting the floor at the same time I'm hitting the alarm off, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's seconds, because you're right. I if I lay there, even if I don't go back to sleep, I'm no, I'm wasting time that I want to be doing things I want to do that's more important than this right now. And I got to do it anyway, so I might as well get at it. But you're right. I've never gained anything out of the snoozing thing. And you're so spot on, Robin, with that. Why irritate yourself 5, 6, 7 times? It's like a theory that people talk about with worry. You know, we all know that there's different numbers applied to that, but, and I don't know what they are, but 98% of what you worry about doesn't happen anyways, or you certainly make it way worse in your mind than it is. So all you're doing when you worry is, if it does happen, but you've just lived through it 2 or 3 times, right? By worrying about it. So if it's not going to be till Thursday and there's nothing I do about it, well, Thursday we'll deal with it, right? You can't, otherwise I've wrecked 4 days worrying about something that in all likelihood is not going to be as bad as I made it up to be anyways, because this. And I use that as the book versus movie theory. I like to read. I mostly read, you know, nonfiction, self-help, motivation, inspirational. But when you, to me, if I read a Tom Clancy book, outstanding. You love the character. You get into it. But you go see the movie and I'm always disappointed, because your mind takes you places the movie can't, right?
Yes.
And I don't know if that makes sense, but that's how I see this, long way of getting back to I was interested in the snoozing thing, because way too many people do that. And I'm glad to hear that it doesn't make sense to just
no, it really doesn't. And like, when people usually use the argument like it feels so good to stay in the bed is warm. But I'm like, well, you know, I can teach you to get like that. The bed feels so nice thing the entire night, so you don't have to like fight against it in the morning. Like you should feel good when you are in bed, but you should do that during the night, not when the alarm goes off. You should have slept enough to be able to get out of bed when the alarm goes off. That's like the entire goal. And yeah, I really like what you said about the books and movies, because I'm an avid reader myself. I've read a lot of, I started reading from a young age, and I always felt the same way. Like when I read Harry Potter and I watched the movies, I was like, what is this bullshit? Like, this isn't even close to the books.
Yeah, exactly. Not that it has anything to do with anything, but I'm a big Jack Reacher fan. You know, I think it's Lee Childs.
Yes.
And I don't go to that movies anymore, because Reacher is nothing like, in my mind, he is in the book. You know, number one, Tom Cruise is 5'5" and Reacher in the book is 6'5" and a big guy. So that just disappointed me right out of the gates, right?
Yes.
But it's like, I love that book, and I know him, right? And that's what a good author does, right? I know Jack Reacher. Like, we're like brothers, we're buds. I know him, right? And then I watched the movie, and none of that is the same. So, you know, it's an interesting theory how that works. So a little bit, without giving away all your secrets, because we want you to get coaching clients, what would an experience with working with Robin look like if you got an athlete or a business owner, an entrepreneur, a sales guy, any high-level achievers or people that want to be? What's it look like to work with Robin on a regular basis?
Yeah, so they usually reach out to me because they feel like they don't have time to follow, like they don't have time to sleep. Like they have so many things going on in their lives, they can't find time to sleep enough. Or if they like have sleep in their schedule, they try to sleep between, let's say, 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. They try, but then they have so many thoughts running that they can't fall asleep, which is really, really common among high achievers. Like, if you're a problem solver by heart, if you're an entrepreneur, you will have a lot of thoughts running. That's normal, because your brain is trying to solve problems all the time. What happens if you're on, that, like, if you're on 16 hours per day, and the only time you shut off your, like, the only time you relax, you take a step back, is when you try to fall asleep, you will have trouble falling asleep, because your brain needs time to reflect over everything you've been through during the day. And if you don't give it the time to reflect, it will do it when you try to go to bed, which will cause insomnia. So what I do with people is I give them strategies to like get those thoughts out of their mind before they go to bed. Mm-hmm. There are multiple ways you can do that, but one way is like just write down everything that's on your mind right now. And that doesn't mean that you have to solve high-level business problems right here, right now. It's just to get them out of your head, because every human have a lot of unsolved thoughts, a lot of unsolved problems in their mind that just keeps like repeating. It keeps disturbing the peace, basically. So you want to get them out of your head, so your head gets lighter, because the lighter your head or your like thoughts are, the amount of thoughts, the easier it will be to fall asleep. So that's like a big thing I do. And you can do that by recording. Like what we do right now will help me fall asleep better when I go to bed, because when I talk, I also get thoughts out of my head. So it doesn't have to be writing. If you can't stand writing, you can just record yourself talking, or you can call a friend, or whatever, but try to get as many thoughts as possible out of your head before you go to sleep.
You know, that's great advice. And so that leads me to a thought. I just made a note here. I'm not doing crossword puzzles. I'm actually writing notes.
Yeah.
Because crossword puzzles are number one, that ages me, but number two, bore me to death. I mean, really, a tooth extraction would be more fun than that to me. But what if you wake up in the night and this thought is in your head, this either a worry you have, something you know you want to do, something you're a brilliant idea you may want to process later, or just whatever. Do you try to just let it go and go back to sleep? Or I know what I do. I grab my phone and I type in my notes quick, because I find that then I can let it go, because I'm not so worried about the problem right now. Mm-hmm. But I'm worried that I'm going to forget this problem I need to take care of, or crap, I forgot I was supposed to do this, right?
Yes.
And or even worse yet to me is I get this brilliant idea that I want to look at. Like maybe, I don't know, getting Robin Westerlund on the podcast, right? And then I can't go to sleep because now I'm scared to death I'm going to forget in the morning what that brilliant idea was. So do you recommend, if it's just you can't get rid of it right away, just go ahead and write it down now, even if it's 2:30 in the morning?
Yes, I recommend that. Yes, I like to optimize what you're doing even further. Like what you said about writing on your phone, I would like to change that to write it in a notepad, because my next sleeping tips is to don't have your phone in the bedroom at all. Because what most people do when they have the phone in the bedroom is they start scrolling. And they're like, I can fall asleep. I scroll TikTok for 4 hours. I'm like, yeah, well, what about you don't even take your phone into bed?
Oh, I shouldn't look at TikTok at 2:30.
Yeah.
There's some great stuff, though, buddy. There's some great stuff.
Yeah. So I agree with the idea part, because that happens, especially for people in a high, like they need to solve problems on a daily basis. And your brain is created to solve problems. That's like your brain has two main functions. Make you survive, and to make you survive in a most efficient way, that's problem solving. So it's no wonder that ideas might pop up. And when you're sleeping, what many people don't know is, like, when you're sleeping, you connect to your subconscious, and a lot of big problems get solved when you're sleeping.
Sure.
Like even if you don't wake up with an idea, you just by getting a good night's sleep, you can come up with the solution tomorrow. And there are like plenty of studies on this. You have a complex problem. You can't solve it today. You go to sleep. You sleep really well. You wake up tomorrow. You solve the problem, and you don't even know where the idea come from. Well, it comes from your subconscious, but your sleep helped get clear on the solution.
That makes sense.
Tell you the solution.
So, and I know you've been very kind with your time. So as we kind of wind down, I feel like listening to you and thinking people that are high achievers and operate at this go, go, go level can tend to, probably not even tend to, they treat sleep as this necessary evil at best, almost an enemy at times, because I'm just tired and I got to go to sleep, but I really want to work on this problem or this opportunity or write this chapter in my book or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. And so to me, it seems like a lot of what I'm hearing, I think, is we have to learn and reprogram our mind to think that if I want to be used with the athlete, if I want to perform at the highest level, I'm highly trained. I know how to run the pass pattern. I know how to do all this stuff, but getting that sleep and being properly prepared to take the field on Saturday afternoon, right, or Sunday afternoon or whatever, is drastically reduced if I don't get the sleep. So we got to quit treating it as an enemy. And I think a lot of people treat it as an enemy, am I right? And that's a bad way to think.
Yes, it's you're completely correct. That's like the biggest problem why, like, all these "I'll sleep when I'm dead" stupid sayings comes from. That's like the problem with the "I'll sleep when I'm dead" is like you'll die 20 years in advance. So that's like that's a lose-lose scenario if you ask me. Yes, like thinking about sleep, like sleep is one of the best ways to increase your productivity. It's like better than any fad, hack, trend, whatever you find that is popular right now. Like sleep has always existed. It will always exist. And like when people tell me, my competition doesn't sleep. Well, I'm like, yeah, well, bad for them. They're going to lose. Like I'm going to like for real, they're going to lose. It's like if, as I said in the beginning, if a pro athlete comes to a big game and I'm like, oh, I'm going to crush it today. I didn't sleep. I was so excited. So I didn't sleep. I didn't sleep tonight. The coach is like, yeah, well, congratulations. You're benched in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So Robin, we've been scrolling your information on the bottom so people can follow you. Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, I think you're on too. I think I follow you everywhere. Appreciate it. This is very fascinating to me, and I knew this would be a great conversation. And I really do have to have some feedback in the future on how well you've trained yourself with the sleeping thing when the twins get here. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. You know, You know, Randy, that's my million dollar business idea, by the way.
There you go. How to sleep with the twins.
Yes, right? That's going to be the course name, and I'm going to make a lot of moolah, and I'm going to sleep better than even before.
Right, exactly. Because you know how to sleep, your twins are in bed, and you made a lot of moolah. I mean, that's a trifecta, right?
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, Robin, I appreciate the time, brother. It's been great. And as I try to always remember, is there any should ask questions that we didn't touch that you'd like to shout out before we get out of here and you go to bed and I'll carry on with my day?
Yeah, it's not a question per se, but like one last thing I want to, like, the importance of sleep, like, just so people understand. So there are studies done on people that, like, you know, you can be on a water fast, you can fast from food. Like, if you can be without food for some days, even weeks, if you're really skilled at fasting. You can be without water for, I don't know, 24 hours, 48 maybe, if you're really, really strong or whatever you want to call it. And most people that are without sleep dies within 62 hours. Like if you're without sleep
in 62 hours. Wow.
So that's like, that should tell you something. So like, if you ask me, sleep is as important as food and water, if not more, but it's at least as important as food and water. So like, think about that the next time you want to, get more things done and
quit with the old college idea of pulling all nighters, right?
That's terrible. Like it's literally the only person that can get away with like doing all nighters is literally teenagers. But even if they do it too many times, it will hurt them when they get older.
Well, sure. So exactly. Well, yeah, it hurt them because I guess we talked about this earlier, but so many things in life, just like discipline, right? I'm a big believer in discipline versus motivation, right?
Yes.
And disciplines are learned habits. And I believe you need to be habitually disciplined, right? And it just becomes a habit. Habits are good things when they're good habits, but they're also equally bad when they're bad habits, right?
Yes.
And as a teenager, sure, you can recover from that. But the longer you do it, the more it becomes a habit. And all of a sudden, you're 29 or Wes's age or my age. And those habits become maybe impossible to break or very hard, right? Because if you got 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years into a habit, good luck with changing that one now, right?
Yeah, for sure. No, I fully agree with that. And the thing is, like, last thing, like a lot of these common diseases like memory loss, dementia, things like that, when they backtrack what the person have done in their life, they're like, oh, he got dementia when he was 54. That's like pretty young. Get the dementia, what would happen? They usually find that the person they research on had like a long period of sleep deprivation somewhere in his life. It could have been when he was like 17 or 27, or like even between 17 and 27, like 10 years straight sleep deprived. It's not a question if it will hurt you. The question is just like how quickly
and how badly, right?
Yeah, how badly. Wow. Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Good stuff. Well, listen, folks, follow my friend Robin. You'll love what I love what you're talking about. Follow him on all the social media. Reach out to him because if you haven't got anything out of this, you must have been asleep. Whoa, that was good. Anyway, you really need, and I got a lot out of this because I'm not the worst probably in the world, but I'm not as good as I could be at doing this. And who knows, maybe we'll have to chat, but maybe you know somebody can help me with this. But anyway,
I Robin, know a guy.
You know a guy, I know. Yeah. And he's in Helsinki, Finland.
Yeah.
And see, now I have two people I know in Helsinki if I ever get to Helsinki, which
you should.
I should. Yeah. I think I should. Beautiful city, I hear. Anyway, that's it. I was just thinking of something else, but I don't have it. It's gone. It went away because I didn't sleep enough last night. Anyway, Robin, appreciate you being on, my friend, bringing all this great information. By the way, again, follow my friend Robin anywhere. Reach out to him. That's it. Let's get out of here. What do you think?
Yeah. One last thing. Sign up for my email list. Then you will get like in-depth content on a daily basis. So I recommend that.
Yes, perfect.
Thank you for having me, Randy. It was an absolute pleasure.
That was my pleasure. Actually, it's all my pleasure. So come on. I'm the host. It gets to be mine. All right. Thank you, my friend. Cheers, brother.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
There you go. Look at that. Did you ever think we could have almost 40 minutes of good conversation on sleep? And when I first got to know Robin virtually via social media, one of the beautiful things of social media, I know there's a lot of negatives, but one of the beautiful things is the networking you can do. And the guy's just spot on with what he's talking about and very good at what he does. And I think a lot of us forget the importance of it. I know I do. I know I at times take pride in at trade shows of running and realize that I'm never at peak performance or the peak performance I think I could be. So it's important. Follow Robin, sign up for his email, and you go get some sleep. Anyways, for now, remember, love what you do and do what you love, because you got to live it, love it, own it. And as always, I can't say it enough, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.